Galatians, the fifth chapter, the Apostle Paul tells us something very important. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore. Do not again submit to the yoke of bondage. But I'll tell you something. As great as that promise is that God has called us to freedom, it's hard sometimes to remember that we really have a blessing here. Part of the reason is that it can be scary. And we're going to talk about one of those times when it's scary this morning. We're going to talk about how God has given us a freedom so that we don't have to be slaves to childishness. We can be courageous people. We can be strong people. 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, at verse 11, the apostle says, "When I was a child, I used to speak as a child, think like a child, reason like a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things." Is it scary to take on manhood? Well, when we're children, especially when we're about 16 or 17, we think, you know, I can't wait to be a man. I can't wait to be emancipated from the terrible bounds that my parents set up on me. I can't wait to be free. We get to be free and we realize, you know, being an adult is kind of scary. Being an adult is kind of hard. And there are even times when we wish we could go back and we could be children again. Because there was something very comforting about being a child. We didn't have to take on for ourselves the responsibilities of making decisions. 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter at verse 13, the apostle says, "Be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men." The King James translation says, "Quit ye like men, be strong." Well, that's not the way that we typically talk. We would say, act like men. The King James says, quit ye like men, be strong. I heard one man say, you need to quit thinking like a man. And you need to think like a woman. Because there was something in the Bible that said, quit thinking like a man. That's not what this means. What? This phrase, quit ye like men in the King James, or act like a man in the New American Standard Translation, it comes from a single Greek word. And you see that single Greek word up there on the screen. I can't pronounce that. I have no idea how to say that. But I do know that I can look it up in Strong's taxonomy, and Strong says that it's this word, number 407. And it's just one word, and you get the whole phrase out of it. Act like a man, or quit ye like men. It's an interesting word. That's the only place that this word is ever used in the entirety of the Bible. Now, that's not terribly surprising because it's a Greek word, and the only part of the Bible that was written in Greek was the New Testament. But something very interesting, we can look at the way that the Jews translated the Old Testament, which was originally written in Hebrew. They translated it into what's called the Septuagint. Called the Septuagint for a very, very special reason. Sept means seven. and there were 70 people that worked on the translation. Terribly difficult to understand. 70 people worked on the translation. They called it the Septuagint. So what we can do to try to get a picture of this word and really what it means, act like a man, we can go look at the way that they used this word to translate things in the Old Testament that was originally written in Hebrew. So the word is not in the Hebrew, but it's in the Septuagint translation that the Jews made of the Old Testament. So, it appears in a number of different places. Let's just look at a couple of them this morning. We're going to talk about Joshua. We're going to talk about him a lot today. In Joshua, the first chapter, beginning at verse 6, Moses said to Joshua, "Be strong and courageous." That's quit ye like men and be strong. "You shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do all that the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may achieve success wherever you go. Have I not commanded you?" he says in verse 9. "Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." In verse 18, "Anyone who rebels against your commandment and does not obey the words that you speak in all that you command him, he shall be put to death. Only you be strong and courageous." You see, Joshua's going to begin leading the people of Israel. Moses has been their leader ever since they left Egyptian bondage. They wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. Moses was always there. He was the one that led them. And now Moses is going to die. He's not going to go into the land of Canaan. But he's appointing his successor. And he says to Joshua, "Be strong and courageous." Well, in 1 Chronicles, the 28th chapter, at verse 20, you find King David, a longtime leader, led the people of Israel for 40 years as their king. And he too knows that he's going to have to pass the baton to Solomon. So this is what he said to his son Solomon, 1 Chronicles 28 at verse 20, "Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be dismayed, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you until all the work for the service of the house of the Lord is finished." Now, of course, when he talks about the house of the Lord, he's talking about Solomon undertaking the building of the temple. We know that David wasn't able to build it, but Solomon built it after him. David had made some of the preparations. Solomon finally finished building this beautiful temple to God. But David knows Solomon is going to have to take the reins. Solomon's going to have to be the adult now, in the ultimate sense. He's not just minding his own body, he's minding the whole people of God. He says, "Be strong, be courageous." Same word. 2 Chronicles 32 at verse 7. "Hezekiah is the king, and Sennacherib of Assyria has besieged Jerusalem." Hezekiah is in trouble. Calls all of his officers to him. And he says to his officers, in the middle of the siege that they're facing from Sennacherib, "Be strong and courageous. do not fear or be dismayed because of the king of the Assyrians, nor because of the horde that is with him. For the one who is with us is greater than the one with him. Be strong. 18 other places that this word is used in the Septuagint translation of the Old Testament. He says, act like men. And that doesn't mean don't act like women. Because in reality, when you read most of history, it's women who have existed, who have exhibited courage, even when men didn't. He's saying, don't be like children. 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter at verse 20, he says, brothers and sisters, do not be children in your thinking. Yet in evil be infants, but in your thinking be mature. So act like men. And God frees us to do that. Ephesians 4, beginning at verse 14, he says, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, till we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness which belongs to Christ. As a result, we're no longer children, tossed here and there by waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of people, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we grow up in him in all aspects, who is the head, even Christ. So we're not children. God calls us with a very special ability. Well, let's think just a little bit more about Joshua. Remember, Moses, when he's about to leave and he's appointing someone to be his successor, he appoints Joshua. That's not the first time we hear about Joshua, though. This is an illustration. It's a picture that illustrates the spies who were sent to spy out the land of Canaan when the Israelites were thinking about going in. There were 12 spies that were sent out. They came back and they told the people, I'm not sure we can take it. We'll probably be defeated. Numbers, the 13th chapter. If you would begin reading there at about verse 25 and read down through chapter 14 at verse 10, you find out that of the 12 spies that went into the land of Canaan and came back with a report about what they saw, there were only two who said, we can take it. We're able to defeat our enemies. That was Joshua and Caleb. And then God gives a charge to Joshua sometime later when he says to him, be strong. You know, it occurs to me that wasn't the first time that Joshua had to be strong. Well, let's think for just a minute about being strong and standing on our own. There were a group of experiments that were done, famous experiments. Solomon Asch did the experiments in the 1950s. And the way that the experiment worked was, he had 10 people come into a room. Now, 9 of the people were actors. There was just one person that was being studied. So he'd bring 10 people into the room, and he'd show them two separate cards. On one card, he had a reference line. It's the one that you see over here. And then he showed them a second card, and there were three lines on the second card, and they were supposed to say which line on the second card matched the length of the reference line that they were shown on the first card. So there were a lot of different settings for all of this. In one setting, the nine actors would give their impression. They would give their answer, and they always gave the wrong answer. And then he got to the 10th person, the person that was really being studied, and do you know what? In about a third of the cases, the person that was being studied that wasn't in on the joke, wasn't in on the experiment, went along with what they'd said. Now, that's important. It's also important to remember that in 73% of the cases, it was 37% of the cases where they went along with the crowd, 73% of the cases, the one person who didn't know about the joke, who didn't know about the experiment, stood up and said, "I don't care what you guys say, it's not what you have said. I'm going to tell you that the reference line is closest to semen." 73% of the time, people, in spite of the fact that they were standing up alone, were willing to say, "This is what it is." Yeah, that's encouraging. They had another situation where people were coming into the room, and this time, same kind of deal. Nine people were actors. One person was being studied. Eight of the people said the wrong answer. Just one person said, "No, it's C." And you know what? In that case, less than 1% of the people being studied gave the wrong answer, like the other eight had. And then they had another situation where they came into the room and the nine actors had gotten there early. They were already seated. The one guy that's being studied, he gets there late. That's because they told him to get there late. He gets there late, comes into the room late, and the person conducting the experiment, Dr. Ash or one of his colleagues, says, "You came late, so you're going to have to just write your answer down on a piece of paper. Everybody else is going to answer out loud. You're going to get to hear their answers, but you're going to write yours down on a piece of paper. Nobody will know what you said." Everybody gave the right answer. Ash's experiments are often depicted as indicating that we don't have any backbone, and we'll go along with the crowd. And if you read about Solomon Ash's experiments in textbooks today, that's what you'll read. If you're interested, go back and look up Solomon Ash's experiments and read what Ash wrote. Don't read what people wrote about him, because people are trying to sell you a pig and a poke. They're trying to tell you that you don't have the ability to stand up and say what's right. You don't have the fortitude to stand up and say what's right. And you know what? For the most part, they're just plain wrong. We do have this ability. Now, there's a good and a bad to this. The bad is that sometimes we become slaves to the decisions of a bad group. That's absolutely true. 37% of those people went along with the nine actors even when they were giving the wrong answers. So yeah, that we call that peer pressure, right? And it can be bad. Now, let me also say that peer pressure, going along with the crowd, can also be a bad thing when we do something that the crowd wanted to do that's a good thing, but we're just going along. How many people do you know that just go along with the crowd, but it's not really what they think? And the crowd is making a good decision. That's dangerous. Happily, we can learn to own our decisions. And when we do own our decisions, then it becomes a good thing. Usually we make good decisions when we own it. Don't ever forget that that's what Solomon Ash told us. Usually we make good decisions. So act like men. Be strong. Second part of that, being strong. This is what it means according to Thayer. To strengthen or to make strong, to be made strong, to increase in strength, or to grow strong. It's understanding something about ourselves. You know, we sometimes, when we think about being strong, we usually think about that in terms of reaching down inside and finding something inside of yourself that you can depend on, something you could stand for. That's not really it. Biblically, God calls us to be strong, but listen to the way he describes it in Ephesians, the sixth chapter. And we're just going to note verse 11 in Ephesians 6. Let me get to the right place here. Ephesians, the sixth chapter, at verse 11, he says, put on the whole armor of God, so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Be strong. Now you're going to have God's help. And that's what God calls us to. He gives us the armor. Read Ephesians 6 beginning at verse 1 all the way down, or at beginning at about verse 10, all the way down through verse 17. Then look at Hebrews, the 13th chapter, at verse 9. Do not be misled by varied and strange teachings. It's good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by food. Which those who were so occupied were not benefited. Be strong. Be of good courage. Act like men. Understand where your strength comes from. So let's draw this to a conclusion. Henry Van Dyke, an amazing American author, said, courage is the standing army of the soul that keeps it from conquest, from pillage, and from slavery. You know, we need people who are willing to stand up and be courageous Christians. People who are willing to stand firm on principles instead of public opinion. People who knew right for the right reasons, even when they're tempted to do something that's wrong. People who are fortified by faith, who are fed by God's word, who are always in prayer. We need courageous Christians who know who they are and where they're going. We need courageous Christians who are never afraid to stand, even when they have to stand alone, knowing that God is going to be on their side.
Amen.
Our homes, our churches, our communities need courageous Christians. We need leaders. We need elders and teachers and parents who are willing to be strong. But let me tell you something. This is a trait that people have before they become leaders. They don't acquire this trait when they become leaders. That's not when you start being strong. That's not when you start acting like men. Just like Joshua, going to lead the children of Israel, he's going to take on the mantle of leadership, and God says, be strong. But let me tell you something, Joshua showed that many, many times before, hasn't he? This is a trait that leaders continuously develop, but it's not something that they begin showing as they become leaders. You want to be a leader of men? Be strong. Stand with God. God gives us the freedom to do that. And He will always be there with us.